And it's been a while. It's been a while, boss. How you doing? Sorry, did I
just clean my ears out, Mark?
That was up a little loud, wasn't it?
It was a bit loud.
Sorry about that. The music is coming right out of the board, right as we do it. Mayor, welcome back to what I was saying. It's been a while since we've done the podcast, but this is your podcast. And, you know, you have been doing daily video updates, and that's been very, very helpful from what we're hearing out there. So I think we've done about 80 videos on a daily basis, and other along with a few other things. And
yeah, I think we've started to scale them back to a couple times a week now. Yeah, as we've progressed, just trying to keep people informed on what's going on, particularly with the pandemic, the COVID-19, the school reopening stuff, all the health related issues that come with it, the store openings, the restaurant openings and closings, and the new program the state's come up with the codes they've now come up with for
the mapping,
the red and yellow and green and white, of course, everyone like to be in that category, but. Yeah, it's crazy times.
Well, let's dive right into each at least a few of those anyway in this 30-minute podcast or 25-minute podcast that we usually do. So let's talk first about the schools, because that is what everybody is asking about. And now, no matter what, first of all, this is not your decision only, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, as mayor and chairman of the school committee on issues like this, I then become one of seven members voting on issues of policy for the schools. So we did have a meeting last week. We made a decision for September 16th that we would open pre-K to third grade hybrid. The special needs program would be in person, and everybody else would be remote. And as we start to get closer to that date, we can continue to review the data, the stats, the information provided by the state and our health department, and make decisions going forward on how quickly those other grades will come in hybrid. The problem with the... You know, everyone says, "Oh, just put the kids back in school," and you know, there's nothing more than I'd want more than that.
Of course,
the reality is, under the requirements of the state and social distancing, we can't right now. You know, some of the schools are pretty full. You know, Montclair, for example, it's an elementary school that every nook and cranny in that school is used for education. So, it'd be difficult to put people in some of these buildings and be able to do that social distancing. That's why the hybrid method makes more sense. You can have two cohorts. You can mix it up a little bit. Have a day off in between. They'll still move. They'll still learn remote on those other days, but at least it gets them in the classroom, in person, in front of the teacher for so many hours a week. So the goal would be after the 16th, as quickly as we can, get all the other grades in to doing the same thing, with obviously the hope then to get to the point where everybody comes in person. Now, all the while, whatever decision we make as a school committee, any family can opt out and just do it remotely from home. That is an option no matter what we do going forward. And I think that's a good option for people. If they feel more comfortable keeping their kids home, then that's an option for them. Now, most of the parents I talk to want to get the kids out of the house, want
to
get them in school.
They're working.
They need a break, whatever the case may be. So as I think I said before in talking about some of the stuff, you know, we've done surveys. It almost breaks down to a third want full person, a third want remote, and a third want hybrid. So a decision we make, two-thirds aren't going to be happy. I mean, usually you try to make half the people happy, but we'll be lucky to make a third of the people happy on this stuff. Yeah, it is, what are you going to do? It is what it is, you know. We're trying to do everything we can to mitigate things. We've got all kinds of PPE lined up and masks and sanitizer. We've got our mechanical engineers going through every building, make sure every system is working well, exhaust systems, ventilation systems. We're actually adding some windows to some parts of buildings that don't have windows. We're doing everything we can to be prepared going forward. Now, it's obviously everybody's hope that this thing dies off quickly. You know, maybe the vaccine comes along and all of a sudden we go in the other direction. But in the meantime, you know, we got to play it safe.
I love what you said. You just can't please everybody, and it's tough when you're letting
some
down.
Some days I want to please anybody, especially at home.
Well, you never know. You never know what you're going to get. Thanks for that update, but it is not your decision.
I'm part of the decision. And, you know, where it comes in a little bit more as mayor and chairman of the school committee is I hold the purse strings. So a lot of the CARES monies that we've received through the federal government and the state is a lot of it's going to schools. I mean, we spent $3.1 million to buy Chromebooks and laptops for kids and teachers, where a lot of the PPE, as I said, is going directly there. We're putting some extra money in there for extra teachers to hire under COVID to have in case we have an outburst of some type. Or under the law, if teachers aren't comfortable coming in, they can take up to 10 weeks off under Family Leave Act without any punishment. So there's all these moving parts that we got to prepare for. So having some extra bodies ready is another part of that. You know, the whole transportation piece, you know, how many kids you can get on a bus now, that changes everything. I mean, it's just crazy, crazy times.
And I know that you've been meeting all summer long, I mean, with this. And this is a major overhaul to try and get a new way
I respect
of doing
my
it.
Colleagues on the school committee, but I've seen enough of them. And I think they'd probably agree that they've seen enough of me. I've been meeting quite frequently this weekend. But, you know, hats off to our new superintendent, Kevin Mulvey, Deputy Superintendent Aaron Perkins, that entire team. Been just working their tails off every day, day and night, trying to make everything go and make everything work. They've done all kinds of Zoom calls, focus groups. We've had a task force, if you will, on reopening where parents, teachers were involved in getting their input. And it continues to come down to, you know, a quarter or a third on opinions. It's just not everybody agrees. There's some teachers that want to get back. There's some teachers that are afraid to come in. You know?
And everybody has an opinion outside
There's
of that
no
as well.
There's no shortage of opinions.
Well, I mean, we are.
That's the time we're living in, too, my friend.
It truly is. But we are living in unprecedented times as far as this virus goes. No one expected. We're the same age. Did you ever think in your life that you'd ever be wearing a mask everywhere you went? I mean, this is just, obviously now it's second hat, but it's just amazing that we're here. We have no idea what's going to happen by November. We have no idea what's going to happen in October.
A lot of people are just surprised by your remarks because most people think you're older than me, Mark. But yes, we did go to, he got kept back a couple of times. So we did graduate the same year.
We did. He was the class president. And let's just say I wasn't. We'll leave it at that.
You were pretty good in the choir, though.
Yeah, that's where I shined, is the choir. Beyond that.
No, it is. It's crazy times. I mean, it's like, everything was going so well, January, February, right? And it's like somebody flipped a switch and just turned the world upside down. I mean, between the pandemic and then, of course, the racial justice issues. I mean, it's just crazy times right now, crazy times. And it's heightened the whole issue about people not being able to have a good dialogue and good discussion without screaming at each other, without accepting another person's views. I mean, it's as crazy as I've seen it in my lifetime.
Yeah, conversation helps a lot, and there's no conversation anymore between either side.
Yeah, I've seen even, you know, with family members and friends, people that, you know, you have high regard for, and it's just gotten crazy. Everyone's got to calm down a little bit and, you know, respect the opposing view. I mean, there was always an issue, you know, not everyone always agreed, but there was a greater respect, you go back years ago, about other people's opinion. Everyone's opinion should count, and we shouldn't just dismiss people and, you know, talk over them, scream, views one different word today. You're a bigot. You're this, you're that. I mean, everyone's so judgmental. Everyone's painted in a certain bucket. I mean, it's out of control. I mean, the old days, it was somewhat liberal conservative and everything in between. But at all levels, you know, I know we've talked about it before, but, you know, the Reagan-O'Neill era, you know, they couldn't have been further apart ideology, Tip O'Neill and President Reagan. Yet there was a decorum. There was a tremendous respect for the institutions and for the opposing view. And then when they get into the arena, they fought like hell to get what they wanted. But there wasn't this meanness. There wasn't this name-calling. Yeah. The stuff we're experiencing today is below our standard, really is, our values. It's below what our founding fathers had envisioned for this country, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. And just one more issue while we're still talking about the pandemic is, you know, the restaurants have gone through a brutal time.
Yes, they have.
And, you know, I know immediately we waived all kinds of permitting for them to be able to set up and have restaurants outside. And actually, for the most part, I think that's been really successful, right?
It has. It has. I mean, look, I understand, you know, there's a role for government. There's a role for regulation. But, you know, there's some people that get so caught up in regulation, you know, they don't see the forest through the trees. I mean, the reality is these people are hurting. They've got all their money sunk into this business. They're hiring people that are living paycheck to paycheck. We're going to do everything we can to make it as easy as possible for them to survive, to operate. And I think we've done that pretty well in the city. Now, having said that, we've had issues with some places. They've had to close down. Health department has to step in and remind them of the rules and regs. But overall, I think people have respected it, the rules as we've laid out. And, you know, I'm hoping that most of our restaurants can make it through this.
Yeah, I do too, I'm sure. You know, we don't know what's happening. We just hope for their sake and that they all can make it. So let's just flip the switch a little bit and talk about some good things that are happening throughout the city. I know you've done a lot of work on parks. Let's talk a little bit about some of those parks.
Yeah, we've had a lot of projects continue to move forward. Parks is one example. Department of Natural Resources, the Parks Division, we've been had ongoing over the last 2 years, improvements all across the city's parks and playgrounds. So every tot lot, Whitwell Street up near the old Quincy Medical across the street there, was just the last one to be done. Welcome Young.
What's a tot lot? Caroline out front said, so, she said, what's a tot lot?
So that would be that would be play equipment for 5 to 12-year-olds. That's that equipment they climb on, the swings, the slides. It's much different than we were kids. Remember the old stainless steel slide that if it was hot, you went in shorts, you burned your leg going down it.
Little metal pieces get in your skin.
You had the old swings and you had the seesaws. Remember the other guy would jump off and you'd go right to the ground.
All rusted.
But a lot of lot of different types of equipment today the kids enjoy. So there's that. Welcome Young, just finishing that tot lot, plus the basketball courts and other park improvements there. I mean, every park of our city has been touched over the last 18 months. You know, tennis courts, basketball courts, tot lots, as I mentioned, ball fields being redone, new fencing in places. It's been a, quite a remarkable stretch for our parks and playgrounds, which obviously the families enjoy, which is huge.
I played tennis for the first time in my life last weekend in one of your parks, by the
way. Did you take a video of that?
I did not.
I'd like to see that
one.
How badly did you get beat?
I did pretty good. I should have played tennis instead of spending so much time in the choir room when I was a kid. That's the problem. Okay. But I was good. I think I'm pretty spry.
What court did you play?
By Quincy High School.
Okay, Russell Park.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful courts.
Beautiful courts, yeah.
Beautiful courts.
And they were full, too. So it was
They've been there a long time. And those are some of the lighted courts we have at night. Even at night, those courts are full right up till 9, 10 o'clock at night. People enjoy it.
It's amazing. In a sport you can also do pretty much while social distancing, which we have to do.
It's true. The other day we were at a whole different sport, which I would never get on a skateboard, but beautiful new skate park down at Pond Street, which is Monroe Playground, which is also given by the Faxon family to the city, along with Faxon Park and Faxon Field. Very charitable family. When you go back looking at them historically, they did an awful lot of good for the city of Quincy, the Faxon family. So we're grateful for that. But that's another. It came out beautiful.
Beautiful.
The kids, not just kids. I mean, some of the young adults using that thing on those boards was pretty amazing.
I still skateboard a little bit.
Do you?
That's how I got around before I got a car. I got around as a skateboard as a kid.
Well, hope you're wearing a helmet.
I broke
elbow
both wrists.
Pads. And
yeah, exactly. Right. So that's a beautiful. It's a beautiful park. And Kincaid, of course. I don't know. I think
Kincaid's been well used,
that,
been well received. That was a whole new. It raises the bar, if you will. It elevates what people's expectation are of our parks, because that has obviously the synthetic turf. It's lit. You get the straightaway track. You get basketball courts, a splash pad, walking path around the place.
Beautiful.
With different gym equipment and different stations they can go in and jump in on. That's been very, very well received. And, you know, I'm grateful for the wisdom of the city council supporting these things, Community Preservation Committee for supporting these things. You know, it's not all tax money. It's community preservation money. It's hotel tax money. We're using all kinds of means. We're getting some foundation grants coming in, which assist us as well. So good stuff going on. And, of course, you know, we got a number of roads that are under reconstruction as we speak as well. A lot of water main work going on, sewer relining going on.
Seawalls.
Ton of infrastructure. Yeah. Seawalls down in Howes Neck, Marymount, Adam Shore. We got the new ramp, public landing down in Howes Neck. The old Maritime Center's been ripped down. The new ramp is in. The new gangway's in. Now we'll be fine-tuning the final plans for the building and then going on that. So, we haven't slowed. I mean, we've got a lot of plans. Should be a busy time this fall with presenting plans to the city council. We'll talk about some of those things a little bit later, but a lot happening in our city, and I know there's some apprehension and concern going forward with the economy, but we have to control our own destiny, and we have to do our part to contribute to the economy, because if everybody just froze and sat in place, wow, we would be in a recession, major recession, perhaps a depression. But all the things we're doing, they elevate the quality of life in Quincy, but they're providing jobs. They're putting people to work, people in the construction world, people that are building these things in factories, the truckers that deliver the stuff to the site. I mean, and that's just the public sector work. As you know, we've got a lot of private buildings going on. If you've been down to North Quincy to see the Pizzuto project.
Beautiful.
And the North Quincy T station is really trying to start to shape up now.
It is, yeah.
I think they're looking at sometime next year for the first apartments to be occupied.
Really?
I walked it recently, the space where the new Target's going to be going in. The old gas station on the corners, they've just taken that one out. There's a Chase Bank going on that corner. Mm. It's a really a different look for that whole stretch of that corridor along Hancock Street coming in from the Neponset Bridge.
Yeah, it was tired. It was a little bit tired, but it does look really, really I like the way it's shaping up. It looks great.
It is shaping up, and it's providing, and I know this rubs some people the wrong way, too much housing. Well, that's what you wanted along the spine of the tracks, people that will you know, they're not necessarily going to the neighborhoods, adding to the traffic of the neighborhoods, but they're staying along the spine, if you will, the main drags of the city, along the tracks. And that was a 7.5-acre asphalt open surface parking lot that was as ugly as they come. So what a waste. And yeah. In part of the metropolitan Boston area, every city and town around Boston is going through a boom in housing because it's needed.
Right.
To keep the economy of Boston going, which drives the region, we need more housing units. And that's what we're doing here. So the younger people, the younger professionals, they're not ready to buy a house. Some don't ever want to buy a house. So they're looking for an apartment with some good amenities and a good location. They can grab public transportation, be in and around restaurants, and maybe enjoy some of the beautiful open spaces that we just talked about.
Quincy's been discovered. It has, by a lot of people. So let's just get a few things out of the way. One of the busiest departments right now is the election office here at City Hall. We do have an election coming up on September 1st, correct?
That's correct. We do indeed. And they've been busy because of the whole mail-in part of the elections this year because of the pandemic. They adopted the mail-in option, which concerns me a little bit overall.
A
long
million
term,
people,
you know,
in, of a state of almost 7 million, where a million people have requested mail-in.
I mean, people can go to the liquor store, the drug store, the supermarket, but they can't go and vote because they're concerned. You know, I get it. There should be some options for people. I just hope this doesn't become a permanent thing, because I just get concerned about the chances of fraud. And I'm not a conspiracy guy, but there's more chances of fraud and error. I can see people, especially some seniors, mailing it in, and then 3-4 weeks later, they go to the election place, and they go to vote, and somebody says, well, you've already voted. No, I haven't. I mean, there's all these other little dynamics that could permeate this thing that could become a little bit problematic. But I understand they're trying to make it as easy as possible so people do not get sick. We're down probably 30 or 40 election workers that normally would work it, that are seniors that don't want to get exposed. And I understand that. So we're backfilling those. City Clerk Nikki Crispo, Joe Newton, the entire team, they're doing a hell of a job getting ready. We're actually going to be making available some of the admin people from the city to assist Nicole for that day and to make sure we get through it.
And finally, we have
a lot of county races, by the way, there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. A lot of Quincy candidates on the ballot.
Yeah, let's not discuss that at all. Let's just skip that. We'll ride right by that subject. But let's talk about our new fire chief, Joe Jackson.
Old fire chief. Yeah. I mean, he's been interim chief. Joe Barron retired. Joe stepped in as interim. Jack Cadigan was made. Joe continued to be the administrative deputy. Jack Cadigan decided early retirement. Joe Jackson once again stepped in as the interim. So it was only natural. We went through the process prescribed by civil service. We had three, including Joe, that applied for it, went through an assessment program. An outside company comes in and does questions and interviews them. They run scenarios by them. And then they score them, and then it's recommended to civil service, who then certifies it. And then eventually we get the final, list, and we did name and swore in Joe Jackson last week or the week before.
Good man. Yeah, 2 weeks.
He's a real good man. He's very conscientious. He knows the job backward and forward. He's well-respected on the job. Mm-hmm. He's got a tough side to him, so he's not a pushover, which is a good thing for the safety of his guys. He's always looking out for the guy's safety first. He's been part of updating the department with resources. He's been a main driver in that new apparatus, the washing machines in all the firehouses. So when they come in from a call, they can change the equipment right out. Because a lot of this, the cancer rate is much higher than the average person.
Right.
So anything we can do to mitigate that, we should. And he's been a big pusher for that, along with the union members of 792. So he's outstanding. His father was a deputy fire chief for a long time. His father was probably one of the most respected guys on the job that I ever heard of. Everyone loved the guy, respected him, understood him. Won no games with him. He was a pure firefighter. He had the guys training constantly, drilling. In those days, they called it drilling, not training, to keep guys in shape and up to date on things. So, Joe, I wish his dad was still around to see him. I know where he is. I'm sure he's smiling. But we're delighted that Joe's decided to take the job. And from there, we just named two deputy chiefs. We named four captains and five lieutenants moving up. And we have a big department, and we got to keep up with the retirements.
We do. And finally, Mayor, the last thing we want to mention is that we would like to encourage folks to make sure you follow the City of Quincy on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, YouTube channel. We have the City of Quincy official. Every day, or at least a few times a week, there are at least updates or the mayor's video. And that's talking about the numbers that are coming out of Commissioner Ruth Jones's office.
Who's done a great job. Take a great job.
Fantastic. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly encourage people all the time, whatever the issue may be, please give us a shout. I mean, I know some people use social media all the time, but you know, you can call our office anytime directly, 617-376-1990. You can email us anytime. There's many ways to reach us, and we can follow up whatever the issue may be that may be of concern or on your mind. As you know, Mark, we have good staff, and people work very hard around here, and we have great departments and department heads, so people really work at it to deliver services to our city. So any issues of concern, please reach out. I can't necessarily say that we'll always agree on everything, and I say that in light of what we just talked about, the school reopening, but we value your opinion, your thoughts. This is your community, and that we don't take that lightly.
Yeah, we prefer a call, necessarily say on if you're asking a question on Facebook, you may not get the answer right away because there's only a couple of people that really take care of that. But if you call us, we immediately get right back to you. And that's just the way you've set us to respond to people immediately. Everyone in this office, if we pick up a call.
Well, the social media stuff is great. And you can actually, you can get online and get into the constituent services stuff. But, you know, we still operate every day here. We have office hours. People can call. They can drop in. And, you know, if it's something of urgent concern, you should call. Don't wait assumption, something to happen on social media. Give us a shout directly.
And Mayor, that's about all the time we have. We want to remind everybody to continue to wash your hands, wear a mask, and social distance. I'm Mark Carey, as Media Director. Mayor, another show in the books.
Stay well, everyone.